WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5. Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, I am joined by Joe Keefe, the Executive Artistic Director of Metropolis Performing Arts Center, located in the heart of downtown Arlington Heights. We will be discussing what Metropolis has on tap for audiences this season. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Ricky Lee, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's our honor. Now, Metropolis Performing Arts Center is one of my favorite theatrical venues in the Chicago area. It's easy to get to. It's a beautiful performing space, and the shows are always top-notch. Joe, how many shows do you do a year?
Ricky Lee, if you can imagine this, we produce or present almost 360 shows a year.
Oh, my.
We do about 160 of what we call produced shows. These are the big musicals and plays that we build from the ground up. So we build the set, we design and build the sets, we cast, we do the direction, and we acquire the rights and then produce those shows. Then we do about 110 shows a year. These are concerts, comedy, dance organizations. We do about 110 of those, and that ranges everywhere from local comedians to nationally touring music artists, a lot of good, solid tribute bands in the area as well. And then finally, the remainder of our shows are done through our School of the Performing Arts. These are shows that are created by our staff for our students. We just closed The Lion King, for example, and that show was so successful that we actually extended it.
Oh, wonderful.
A couple of days. Yeah, it's really a joy, and this is such a perfect opportunity for young people in the area to get not just training, but training on a professional stage, training by professional directors and actors. And so our young people get these great experiences, and the shows they produce are absolutely wonderful. So we do about 360 separate productions per year, and as I always say, the guy who runs this place is such a tyrant. And I go, wait, that's me.
Well, now, talking about the shows that you produce in-house, what is it like putting together a season for the Metropolis? I mean, I have to imagine it's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. You try and find shows that you want to do, but maybe a theme, a through line. Like this season, it seems like you want to have fun.
Yes, you've hit on it. It's a menu and a jigsaw puzzle at the same time, because we really do look for shows that are going to be perhaps maybe a little unique in the area. We really do a lot of research on shows that perhaps people hadn't seen or maybe haven't seen in a while, shows that we bring back. We look for a big balance of shows. And generally speaking, we like to start our seasons with something Broadway big. So this year we did Anything Goes to open our subscription season, and that's, of course, the classic Cole Porter musical. And that is about as big and brassy as anything we can do. Then in the winter, we look for shows that maybe have a little bit more sense of intimacy or a little more scale, if we would call it. We try to balance the winter shows in a way that, you know, because of the season and all that, we want shows that maybe people feel are a little bit more intimate, a little bit more appropriate to the season. So this year we're producing The Great Noises Off. Some people say it's the greatest farce ever written for the stage, and I agree with them.
I agree as well.
Yeah. And then the next show is Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which is a big Broadway musical based on that classic Steve Martin movie. And then next summer coming up, well, not next summer, the coming up summer, we have Mamma Mia, the classic ABBA musical. And that, like you said, we made a conscious choice to have this season maybe be a little bit more upbeat, a little bit funnier, a little bit faster paced, candidly. Some of the shows are pretty snappy in their pace. And that, we do think, fits kind of our perception of the worldview right now. We want people this year to maybe feel more like, hey, why don't we get away from maybe some of the issues in the world that are confronting us today, and maybe have focus a little bit more on you know, kind of a higher level of professional entertainment. We've had seasons in the past, for example, where we did Hair, for example, the original Broadway production of Hair. And we, at that time, we wanted something maybe a little bit more raw, a little bit more...
edgier.
Yeah, edgier, a little more dramatic. We've done Rent here, for example, which is one, I think, one of the best productions we've ever done. And that has that same level of kind of grit to it. You know, something a little bit more with that edge. And so we try to balance this out. We try to read the world around us well. And certainly we try to understand the community that we're in by providing this entertainment in a way that really people do find compelling and captivating. And I think so far we're doing a pretty good job with that.
You know, I would agree with that.
You
know, for your, as you alluded to, you started off the 2019-2020 season with the Cole Porter musical Anything Goes. And, you know, it's not one of my favorite shows traditionally, but my son and I went to see it and we were amazed. We both loved it. Do you get any kind of feedback like that as Metropolis grows, that audiences don't know what to expect and then are really, really impressed and happy with the experience?
Well, you've hit on something, and it's so great the way you articulated it, because what we try to do consciously is to, our mission, our purpose is to exceed our audience's expectations with every opportunity. So you've hit on it, because Anything Goes, it's a classic show. This is a show from the 1930s, and it has some of the greatest music ever written, but it's also what we would call a chestnut. It's been done. People have seen it. There have been big Broadway revivals of it. There have been big national tours of it. So it's incumbent on us to try to take that and put it in a way that feels fresh, that feels dynamic, that feels organic, you know, to the intent of the show in the beginning. And some of the, candidly, some of the subject matter, you know, it sometimes can feel a little bit dated. Well, our job then is to make that relevant and to make that exciting today and to make that, you know, passionate, if you will, and to really hit the audience in that way. And the secret to a show like that, in my view, because the script isn't what we would call perhaps maybe the deepest script ever written. You know, it's boy, girl meets boy, girl loses boy, boy finds other girl, everybody falls in love in the end.
Right.
You know, that script isn't going to, you know, it's not going to win a Nobel Prize. Having said that, the music is so dynamic, and the relationship of the music to the characters is so dynamic. If you begin with that and really make the music literally sing, then the rest of the show can really start to pick up its energy and the connections. I will say one of the things that we're, one of many things we're blessed by, because of our this area that we're so grateful to live in, the northwest suburbs of Chicago, we are able to attract hundreds and hundreds of unbelievably talented young people who audition for our shows. So for Anything Goes, for example, more than 350 young people auditioned for that show. And the cast we put together, as you recall, I mean, that was just, there's three or four that are just Broadway level talent. They're just not there yet. You know, they're younger than that in their experience. So,
well, and especially I want to point to Justice Good, who stepped into the lead, one of the leading roles from an understudy position.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Justice was, and he was, as you may recall, he was tossed in a very, very interesting set of circumstances, because due to the necessary replacement of the lead actor there, Justice had been rehearsing as the understudy, but he literally stepped in to full performances at our last preview performance. He's like, oh, by the way, you're now the star of the show. He and Katie Pichetto. Katie was our lead in that,
yeah.
And those two, it was like they were born, you know, they were born to play the roles together. They were just such a delight.
Now, you mentioned that you're attracting a higher level of talent. How do you go about selecting the directors for your shows to maximize this use of the more talent coming out?
Well, we have a pool of directors that we rely on very very importantly. Robin Hughes directed Anything Goes, and Robin is she's also our casting director. And Robin is just one of the great experienced hands in Chicago theater. So we rely on Robin. So we have a core pool of 6 to 8 directors that we stay very close with, and we work very close not only on individual productions, but they're also composed what we call our artistic associates group. So this is staff members and artistic staff, and we tap into that resource over and over again. And then we also are trying to train new directors all the time. So we're looking for directors who are working their way into the business as well, and we provide opportunity there. Kevin Wixer, a really wonderful director, just concluded a Christmas Carol. And Kevin has had a lot of experience in the area, not a lot with us, but now we feel like we can give him more opportunity and, candidly, a bigger budget than he's used to,
right,
and maybe, you know, more resources there. So Kevin did, I think, one of the great jobs with A Christmas Carol. It was his direction in this show, what he and I discussed repeatedly was he wanted to tell a really good ghost story.
Yeah.
So this version of A Christmas Carol is maybe a little spookier, maybe a little bit more, reliant on those types of things, but I think it was a wonderful production. So
we're always looking for
those directors as well.
And it gives the audience something new to look forward to. I mean, how many times can you do A Christmas Carol and do it the same way, doing something new with it?
Well, you know, and if you think you know the story so intimately, the notion of it is a morality lesson. I mean, it is, but it's a scary ghost story. This older man he's woke by ghosts.
Yeah.
Their whole job is to scare him into a life that is worth living. I mean, and that was the emphasis of the show. So we had the appearance of Marley, for example. Marley appeared through a giant fireplace. He came like explosively through this fireplace, and we had gasps in the audience, little people who were just like, oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
It was really a very dynamic thing, and we look for elements. We look for production level like that, those types of opportunities with all our productions where we can maybe dazzle a little bit, maybe try something actually a little bit out of the norm.
Now, I know you helmed last year's Buddy the Buddy Holly story. How often do you yourself direct at Metropolis?
About one out of every 6 or 8 shows. I hope to do one a season when I can, but my other executive responsibilities sometimes, they eat up a lot of that time.
Oh, yeah.
But I do try to do, I'm going to say 1 out of 6 or 8. I will say I have, many decades now, 56 years professionally in the business, and I'm 61, so I've been in the business since I was 5. But I have many decades of experience. But I do have an affinity for the jukebox musicals.
Okay.
Those are the musicals that are, maybe based on a personality or feature a series of songs that are related by, a theme or mm-hmm. An author. And I have an affinity for those. I find it. I'm a musician myself as well, and obviously have directed shows for many decades. But I just enjoy the process of it. I enjoy trying to find something in those jukebox musicals that maybe give it a little bit more breadth or depth or a little bit more interest and excitement rather than just, kind of putting on the jukebox, if you will. And that show, the Buddy Holly story, it was just such an absolute work of joy for me. I love the music in the first place, and I kept threatening the guys that I did the first 2 weeks of musical direction on the show as well before Kenny McMullen, our great musical director, stepped in on that. But I kept threatening to just join the band. And somehow the Crickets would have a spare player in the band. And I just enjoyed it so much that the young talent, Travis Shanahan as Buddy, I mean, he was just jaw-dropping.
He was marvelous.
The amount of work he put into it and all the guys in the Crickets. We had them in a month before the regular rehearsals began, and we put them in a room, and I said to the guys from a director's point of view, I'm locking you in this room so that you guys begin to form the relationships the way the Buddy and the Crickets did in the beginning.
Great.
Get in the room, learn, figure out the music, find how the music relates to you, and that just paid off in such wonderful dividends.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we're speaking with Joe Keefe, the Executive Artistic Director of Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. Now, Joe, let's talk a little bit about the main stage series that you have. Starting off with Noises Off is your next show.
Yeah.
And I personally, as we've discussed, I personally consider Noises Off to be one of the funniest stage shows ever. For those listeners who aren't familiar with Noises Off, can you give us a synopsis?
Well, it's Noises Off is a hilarious farce told in three acts, short act, very brisk, but it's actually a theatrical touring company is presenting a show called Noises On. And what we see in Noises Off is the challenges that company goes through to present the show. There are some personality conflicts between lovers who are not lovers anymore or lovers who may become lovers. There are conflicts between egos based on people who believe they should have more say in the production and many people who say less. And there's backstage, what would you call it, politics that become farcical. And it really is, for theater people, for theater goers, it's a glimpse at the backstage of how things work, maybe in a hyper-realized manner, but in a manner that is so entertaining and so much fun. I will share with you that plates of sardines are thrown in the middle of the show. And I've always found that when you can find a show with plates of sardines being thrown, it's going to be a hit.
That is a lesson to live by, yes.
But it's a really joyful show. And you get to see, literally, you get to see backstage at a production while it's being produced, and you get to see the front of that as well. And I can't really even explain how, but you'll see the show in performance, and then you see what's happening backstage during the performance, and then you see the end result of all that as well. And it's a real fun romp. And again, the cast we have, they're just sparkling in this already. I was in a run-through last night, and I'm just jaw-dropping at the level of talent that we're able to attract.
And now this show opens January 30th?
I believe that's right. That's our opening night. We have previews just prior to that, the week prior to that. So there are preview performances prior to that, and again, audiences are invited to preview. But then January 30th, and it runs for a little bit more than 6 weeks after that.
Now, you mentioned participating in a recent rehearsal, and I was wondering just how much, as the executive artistic director, how involved you get in the creative process of each individual show?
Well, that's such a great question. So much of it is based on the planning that we do when we discuss the season, because I work with the directors as closely as possible on their vision for the show. They create what we call a vision statement that's 4 to 6 pages or more of what their perception of the show is, what the mechanisms they feel would be most useful to execute it. And this is done months and months in advance of the first rehearsal. And most of the time, that's done 6 months in advance. So that forms the basis of conversation with the director and me and our production management department. We begin to kind of visualize these things. And then once that planning is established, then the director and I form the basis for, you know, my level of participation. And my role always as artistic director is one of advisor, a guide. If a director feels stuck or if a director feels, I could use some assistance or maybe just brainstorming or just a shoulder sometimes to, you know, so they can sound off on some issues or anything along that line. But generally speaking, I stop into, if we have rehearsals for shows 6 days a week, and I'm in three of the six of those, but most of the time, for very brief amounts of time, I might come in for 15 minutes, half an hour at a time, just to be present and, you know, say hello. Other times, though, I'll be there for a full rehearsal and, you know, just asking questions or checking on things. And again, that's always with the idea. My primary role in the world of theater, and especially in the world of Metropolis, is twofold. I'm the chief encourager, or the encourager-in-chief, and then I have to find a way to say to our production people, our great production manager, Bill Franz, or our director, I have to find a way to say yes to them. They want something. Well, if we can afford it, we're going to get it for them. If we can't afford it, I got to go find some money to go see if we can get it done for them. Because the visions that we have and the talent level that we have at the production management side is so high that if we can find ways to get these things done, our shows are going to be better and our audiences, we're going to exceed their expectations again. So the show you saw, Anything Goes, that great musical, we focused hard on that set. That was a 2.5-story set for us, and that take a lot of investment and a lot of pre-planning. And, you know, we had a cast size of 26. Just imagine the traffic patterns on a 2.5-story set.
Oh, yeah.
That you know, going into all that, it really made it. But it also made the show visually much more dynamic and much more dazzling. So, you know, we work hard on that, and we start months and months in advance of that.
Now, for those who want to order tickets for Noises Off or any of the shows in Metropolis's 2020 season, you can call the box office at 847-577-2121. That number again is 847-577-2121, or visit metropolisarts.com. Now, Joe, coming up after Noises Off in May, you have Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Let's talk a little bit about that. It's a musical based on the 1988 film that was actually directed by Frank Oz, I was interested to find out.
That's right, yeah.
And the stage musical premiered on Broadway in 2005 and had 11 Tony nominations, including a Best Actor win for Norbert Leo Butz. Can you tell us a little bit about the musical itself as you are going to stage it, and what kind of magic you have up your sleeve?
Well, this one is the word that I would describe for this show, beyond funny, of course it's a great comedy, but slick. The thing is, these two lead characters are con men. That is defined right away. And because of that, they're both very good at being con men, and they are very sharp at introducing themselves to people, many of them ladies, and they do their best to gain money or other types of advantages from these people. And by virtue of that, the believability, as we would say in the theater business, the verisimilitude of that has to come from really solid characters. These characters have to be slick and competent. They have to be believable as con men, so we have to train them essentially as con men would be trained as well. So we bring in a lot of what's called dramaturgy, the research of the show. We learn about the show itself, but then we also bring in resources like there's the great Ricky Jay, for example. Ricky was a world-class performance artist, a dear friend of David Mamet's, and Ricky used to do shows about conning people. He would do card tricks where you could get money out of people, and he would do, famously, he did shows on Halsted in Chicago for these, and they were kind of like a card sharp show or a, you know, a con artist show. And he'd bring people up on stage, and he would show you how he could get your wallet from you or steal. So Ricky was this brilliant consultant, an actor himself. So he consulted on a great movie called House of Games, one of Mamet's great movies, and did a lot of training with them to show people how to do this con work. Well, we're doing the same level of training. Ricky is gone now, but we're going to do that same level of training to make sure that these great actors understand what that con is like and how to create the appropriate level of advantage, giving and taking advantage. But then the show itself, too, the way we envision the show has to look slick. The set has to be multi-useful. The doors that open maybe are not the doors that lead to where you think they're supposed to lead, and other doors aren't doors, but they open anyway. All those types of things go into a show like this because the basic premise of the show is that sort of con meets illusion. So we work really hard in the beginning to kind of visualize that, to understand it, to begin to, you know, have that level of understanding affect every portion of the show. The paint that we put on the set, how we design the set itself, how we train the actors to experience these things in ways that's very visceral and very emotional for them as well, so that results in a production that it not only is true to the validity of the music and the great comedy itself, but also, you know, extends the audience's understanding of kind of what is a long con, and, you know, how does that work, and how do you, you know, steal pearls from a rich lady, and, you know, things along that line. We go to as far lengths as we possibly can to provide all those types of background material so that the audience really gets the full effect of the show itself.
And then in July, you're bringing Mamma Mia to life at the Metropolis. Mamma Mia, of course, the Broadway musical featuring the music of ABBA. In about 30 seconds, what can you tell me about Mamma Mia?
Well, you know, that music, my wife always kids me, and again, because I'm a musician as well, I find that music to be some of the greatest music ever written. It's just so much fun, and so joyous, and so lovely, and touching in spots. And so this music really drives this homage of the young girl who's in search of her father. She never met her real father, and she's concocted this wonderful plan, this little bit of a mystery to attract her father to her wedding, and they go through these things. But the music really tells the story of this. It's her experience and her life told in this sweet, sometimes a little painful, sometimes absolutely gorgeous way, but just an absolute romp of fun with some of the greatest music written in that generation.
We have been talking with Executive Artistic Director Joe Keefe of Metropolis Performing Arts Center, located in the heart of downtown Arlington Heights. For ticket information on the shows that we've discussed, Noise is Off, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and Mamma Mia at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, please call the Metropolis box office at 847-577-2121 or visit metropolisarts.com. That number again is 847-577-2121 or visit metropolisarts.com. Joe, thank you for your time today. I have really enjoyed our conversation and look forward to seeing the 2020 Metropolis season. And you, of course, are welcome back anytime.
Can I just say it's been a pleasure chatting with you today, and your support of theater and the performing arts is unmatched. We're so thrilled to have you be a little part of our world.
Thank you so much, Joe.